You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop here in the studio. A little later on, Ali and Jules will be here to reflect on an impressive win for Barcelona, but Atleti still top of La Liga after a 1-0 win against Alaves. We'll start, though, in the FA Cup. The lineup is set for the semi-finals after today's result. Leicester City with a convincing 3-1 victory over Manchester United to set up a semi-final with Southampton. Meanwhile, it'll be Chelsea against Manchester City after Thomas Tuchel's side beat Sheffield United 2-0. Let's welcome in, shall we, Frank LaBeouf and Nadim with us as well to reflect on what we saw first off in the Leicester game. Nadim, how bad were Manchester United?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought they were going to be good today. I think they've found a way to sort of grind out results, but when push came to shove, I thought overall Leicester really deserved something from the game. I think in spells they controlled it quite well, and United had maybe one or two chances, but when it was all done, I think Leicester thoroughly deserved to get to the semi-final, and I'm really shocked, to be honest, because I really fancied United's chances of doing well in the competition this year, but I guess it's another disappointment for them.
Yeah, again in a cup competition, and Frank, Solskjaer's quotes about cups not necessarily being a sign of progress are very much coming back to bite him in the bottom.
Well, you know, that's the thing. So if that team doesn't bring intensity in its game, they're not going to win anything. And it's a big lesson for the future of the Europa League. As soon as they try to pause a little bit the game, and try to think too much about the game, they start losing what they have in strength, their intensity. And when they do it defensively and offensively, they maybe have a chance to do something in any competition. It's what they do in the Premier League. It's what they've done so far in the Europa League. And it's what they didn't do today. And it's why they lost.
Nathan, obviously these Solskjaer quotes are everywhere when you look at the moment. How big a deal is it that your manager of Manchester United come out and says these sort of things about trophies?
To be honest, I think he's playing some sort of game. I think he's trying to maybe dampen expectations from the outside, but I believe that himself, the staff which he's brought in there and the players who are there now, they're brought together to try and win trophies. I think ultimately you don't become a Manchester United player and think that it's going to be okay to just maybe get close to first or something like this. Obviously, the league is a big thing, but the cup competitions, they matter. The longer Manchester United go without winning the trophy, the more questions that are going to be asked of them, probably more so than any other team in the league. So in my opinion, I think he says those things, but I think he'll be hurt by today. I think he put out a side which he thought was capable of getting a result, but they were flat. And you could say maybe the Europa League had an issue, maybe affected the performance today, but you know, I expected more. I think Ole probably expected more. And even though he would try and dampen expectations again, I think deep down he'd be really disappointed because I think this was a big opportunity for them.
Shaka, does it play a psychological part on players when your manager comes out and says these sort of
Absolutely
things?
Does. And we say that time and time again. You give players an excuse to lose a game, 9 times out of 10, they're going to take it. Ultimately, you feel that this Manchester United team feel, rightly or wrongly, that they're still playing catch-up with so many others in the Premier League, in particular, Manchester City. They're not going to win the league. They are going to finish top four. Whether they get to finals or semi-finals, as the case may be, and come up against City or one of the other big boys and go out as they had done in the past, ultimately, at the end of the season, the United will look back and say, did we finish top four? As of right now, it's yes. Did we close the gap on Manchester City? Did we leapfrog others who were above us in seasons gone by? They did so with Liverpool, certainly. And they feel that, okay, this has been a successful season, whether we bring home silverware or not. And that, for me, is where the complacency with Manchester United comes. That's what the complacency you saw in the performance today. Even though you make changes, you rest Bruno Fernandes, you don't bring he or Cavani on to later on to change things up, I think the damage was already done psychologically, and they just didn't have it in the tank to pull it back against this a very good Leicester team.
Nadim?
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with a lot of what you've said there, but I think when United look back at this game, I think the players will walk off the field and they'll be disappointed, because I believe that they stepped onto the field believing that this was their big opportunity to get to a semi-final, because they were playing a team who they probably fancied playing a good game against. And as I say, even we could talk about the end of the year and they'll look back and say, you know, we did well, we did whatever. I think this one will stink. I think if maybe they came up against City, who were at their absolute best, and they lost, you'd say, OK, well, fair enough, they're the better team. But I don't think United, or any player for United, or any fan, maybe even Ole Gunnar Solskjaer himself, will be saying objectively that Leicester City are better than they are as a team. So this is a disappointment, whether they try and downplay it or not. I think their standards are ultimately higher. And if we are in a place whereby United do accept this, then it's a very, very sad day for English football. But I don't believe that they're there yet, and I think this is a big disappointment for them.
Leicester City then obviously advancing to the semi-final, as are Chelsea. Thomas Tuchel's record, quite something since he took over from Frank Lampard. 14 games, 10 wins, 4 draws, unbeaten. He's only conceded 2 goals, Frank. It's not pretty. It's not exactly something you get excited about when Chelsea are playing at the moment, but they're getting the job done.
Exactly. It's what it is. And it's hard and maybe unfair to say it's not perfect, that we don't like it, or we can complain about something. The result is, as you said, and the numbers are saying, you know, they don't lose game, they win most of them, they have clean sheet. Defensively, they may be lucky, but they seem to be perfect. Today, they've been very, very lucky, especially the second half. And I think they have some gods, you know, helping them to not concede any goals. So it is what it is. And I think it's what I like about Tuchel right now. He's very humble about about their performances. He's never said that they're very over or superior to anybody. He only say that, like today, we did well the first half, but the second half we were lucky. Well, I think we were tired after maybe the Champions League game. We did what we had to do. At the end of the day, we got again another clean sheet. We are going through, and it's the main important thing is to go through in the FA Cup. And it's what it is. You just have to say congratulations, guys. It's not perfect, far from there, but congratulations.
Winning is just a habit for Chelsea at the moment, Nadim.
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. And we talk about the defensive record. I think in some ways there's a similarity, in my opinion, between them and, say, what City have been for the past 3 months. Because, yes, they do defend well individually, and, say, the back three and back five defend well. But I think their ability to keep the ball for long periods of time basically stops the opposition from essentially putting them under a lot of pressure. And I think under Tuchel, you're trying to see certain, or rather you are seeing certain patterns of play, people moving the ball around, they're very comfortable in possession, they're moving it well, and I think that's really frustrating a lot of sides that they come up against. And, you know, this is just a hunch, but I imagine sides aren't necessarily getting the same level of chances as they were doing under the previous manager. Obviously, we saw the McGoldrick chance, which he should have scored, but overall, I just don't see that from Chelsea anymore. And I think that's credit to him, because he's put a system in play which allows them, you know, to defend well with three bodies back there, but then also control a lot of possession.
And Frankie continues to rotate. You can never quite guess what his starting 11 is going to be. But I suppose it's testament to him that he keeps getting it right, because he keeps getting the results.
Exactly. I'm not sure that the substitute that played today got any credit from there, because they didn't do well and they had to bring back the player who would normally play to ensure the game. Pulisic could have done well. He would have scored. He would have been better. But I'm not convinced about the player who came on today and tried to do the job. Again, it's always the same people that you have to say well done, but you know, you have to rotate. It has to be done in order to be good in the Premier League, to be able to do well in the Champions League, and of course to go through in the FA Cup. That's quite normal. And I think, especially offensively, we're going to see that until the end of the season, until finally maybe Tuchel makes his own mind up and realize who's going to be the first 11.
And of course, by the end of the season, it is very feasible that Chelsea will have some silverware in their cabinet. And if you take a look at the draw, Nadim, obviously discussed this on Friday, but if you're Chelsea, there's a good argument that you can go all the way in this tournament, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But one thing which I wanted to say on Friday, which I think is quite significant, is that Porto side are a tough side. I don't think they can see many goals in the Champions League,
not even really, in the two-game game against City. I think that's given them a bit...
Okay.
I understand you have to respect
relax,
the opposition.
Relax, Daniel. They didn't arrive there by accident.
Yeah, but they played a rubbish Juventus team.
They've given teams a lot of very tough games. With 10 men, did you say?
Yeah, but still rubbish.
Did you factor that in or not? But when they went down to 10 men, I'm sure you thought the game was over, didn't you?
No, I thought. That's I still think Porto that. Are going to go through this, and then I'm going to bring that up with Nadim when the draw's made.
I think Chelsea are favourites. But that Porto game is probably going to be a lot tougher than people realise. I think that the way Porto are now is how I envisioned Atletico Madrid would have been in the round before. But they're a solid team. I think they take chances well. And even if in adverse situations, they seem to do quite well. So getting into a quarter final, you know, it's going to be tough. But I think Chelsea, you have to fancy your chances. I think anyone on that side of the draw have to fancy their chances. But I still think that the winner for me comes in the other side of the draw. And whoever makes it through that semi-final on that side, which could be City, could be Dortmund, could be Bayern or whatever, that's got to be the favourite heading into the final.
Yeah, of course. If it's Bayern Munich or Manchester City going through to the final, you would take them no matter who they meet in that final, Frank. But it's the first time you've been on since the Champions League draw is made. From a Chelsea perspective, you're loving life, aren't you?
Yes, of course you have to be pleased with the draw. But again, you know, I'm not sure, you know, in especially in those circumstances that we are going through right now, where you have no fans in the stand, I think it's better for the players to have a plus of pressure, meaning maybe playing against a big, big team. So Porto is a huge team. But of course, comparing to the others, you have to be pleased to play against them. But will you be too confident to get a little bit sloppy and not go through because you played against Porto? If you play against another team, you give that plus of pressure will make sure you spot on. I don't know. We're going to have the answer after the two legs. We'll see. So far, so good. But it doesn't mean that you're going to go through.
But Frank, if I offered you Porto on Friday as a Chelsea fan, you would have said, thank you very much, Dan.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't because I know too much football. No, because of what I explained. I'm a football player. I know that without the fans, so we don't have that plus to push it us, you know. And play, you know, playing the second leg at home will be a plus normally in a normal life. But we don't live in a normal life. And playing Porto can be a big trap. Because you feel too confident because everybody's going to say to you, well, you know, it's going to be easy. It's going to be a piece of cake. You're going to go through, you know, and you're not going to be spot on. And you're going to be smashed back. So let's see. It's a good draw, but you have to prove it's a good draw.
Who did you want then, Frank? Munich? From upper level test?
Of course not. Of course not, but why you go to the extreme, you know? I think playing in Paris Saint-Germain would have been very, very interesting because you took going back to the Parc des Princes.
Yes, that's good for the headlines,
Paris,
the stories. But do you want to play Porto or do you want to play PSG in the next round? You want to play Porto every day.
No, not for me. I would have rather played Paris Saint-Germain than Porto. Because I don't think Porto is less good than Paris Saint-Germain. That's just the picture, the history of the club, and the name in the team who makes you think that it's easier to play Porto than Paris Saint-Germain or Bayern Munich. I don't agree with you. I'm sorry.
Dan, you're a very tricky host. You're a very, very
Nidham,
tricky host.
Explain to him, Nidham.
No. Yeah, you played well done.
Explain to him.
You won a World Cup. Yes, you did all that. Great. Well done. But if surely you're a player, you see the draw, you're like, oh, damn it, I wanted PSG. You'd have got Porto.
I'm with you, Dan. If you give me a choice between Porto and last season's beaten finalists, I go Porto all the way along. But to Nadim's point, but this is a quarter final of the Champions League. Of course, whoever you draw is going to be tough. Of course, there's a possibility for whoever you draw to beat you. But if you get to handpick who's out of who's left in the competition, if you're Chelsea, you are very, very happy with drawing Porto.
Porto TV will be joining us a little later on in the show.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Taking a look at how things stand in La Liga after today's results. Atleti with a 1-0 victory over Alaves. They remain top, 4 points clear of Barcelona, who destroyed Real Sociedad by 6-1. Let's welcome in, shall we, Julian Laurent and Ali Moreno. Let's not mess around, boys. Let's get straight to it. Who's going to win La Liga, Ali?
Really? That's all you're going to ask?
That's it.
You don't want to go into it. You don't want to go into analysis, nothing. You don't care about the game. You want to know who's going to win it. And the truth is that I will tell you what I told you last weekend. I'm holding on just like Atletico Madrid are holding on.
Wow.
Holding on. Barely. Just enough, but they still have a 4-point lead. And until that changes, I'm still going to go with Atletico Madrid.
Jules, every game for Atleti, you're suffering. If you're a fan, you're watching it through your fingers.
Completely, and it was the case again today with that penalty saved by Oblak at the end. They didn't play really well. Of course, Suarez scored, and they could have scored maybe a second before the penalty at the end, but I think they really have a small margin now. They have a small margin on whoever they're facing, and we saw that again in the Champions League where they were really well beaten over the two legs by Chelsea, and they've got a small margin over Real Madrid and Barcelona behind them. I think I've changed already twice who I thought. Every time you ask me the question, it's a different answer. I'm sorry. I have to be honest, because I thought Atleti was so strong, so good for the first half of the season, then they lost the derby, and then I thought, okay, maybe Real Madrid can come back and win this, and now I'm thinking, okay, I'll watch Barcelona tonight, and I'm like, wow, okay, the formation works so well. Messi has scored 18 plus 8 assists in his last 14 league games. And wow. I'm like, right, even if Griezmann starts scoring, Barca, who, by the way, still have to play against Atleti, which is not the case of Real Madrid, you're thinking Barca can actually do this. So the answer is I'm not sure, but Atleti certainly don't have much of an advantage over anyone right now.
What a season it's been for Barcelona, Ali, considering just a few months ago we were genuinely asking the question as to whether or not they could finish in the top four. Boy, they've turned things around.
Yes, they have. And as much as we've criticized Ronald Koeman early on in the season for some of the decisions that he made in terms of personnel, for some of the decisions that he was making in terms of what he put out on the field, I have to say, Ronald Koeman has now found what I think he believes is his best 11, or at the very least the formation that makes this team most effective and most efficient defensively and in the attack as well. You saw a couple of examples today. That Frankie de Jong, in the position that he's playing, because Piqué is out, Frankie de Jong is sort of a center back, but a guy that steps into the midfield. So it's kind of like what Franco Baresi used to do, like Ronald Koeman used to do back in the day. A guy who will defend, but also has the ability to step into the midfield and then provides you an additional number when you are in possession of the ball. What does that do? It pushes Sergio Busquets further up, where he doesn't have to chase around defensively. You also have Sergiño Dest and Jordi Alba that become very much an attacking option. We've always known about Jordi Alba, but if Sergiño Dest is also giving you something down the right-hand side, they become a lot more difficult to defend against. No better example than what we saw today in the third goal, where it's actually Alba to Sergiño Dest. And then the other thing that you're getting, aside from the fact that Dembele is getting in behind and the element of speed, is the space for Lionel Messi, where he has the freedom now to move in areas in which he can be truly effective. The sixth goal from Barcelona today was all-school Barcelona. Barcelona, was vintage Barcelona. I almost had to say myself, wait a second, 2011 Barcelona? Where did this come from? They look fantastic today. This may have been the most impressive performance by Barcelona we have seen this season.
Ali's saying that this is a better Barcelona side that won all those trophies back in 2011, Jules. Would that be enough, do you think, if
really?
This sort of form continues?
Really?
To keep Messi there?
I think. Listen, for Messi to stay, he needs to be convinced by the project. To start with, the guy at the helm of the project, Joan Laporta, is someone that he trusts and he knows really well. He's the guy who gave him his first professional contract 20 years ago, like 15 years ago. So this is a good start. Then if he feels that the project and what the club is offering, the young players, the Pedri, the De Jong, the Sergino Dest, those kind of players are making progress, that is getting stronger and stronger, that the formation works, and we've seen that they can be flexible even tactically as well. So if he believes in Ronald Koeman too, I think there's a lot of reasons why he would stay, and you could be quite confident and optimistic for him to stay. If there's one of those parts, though, that he doesn't really feel right, then there'd be a chance that he's tempted by somewhere else, whether that's City or PSG, and he decides to go. But right now, and we've said it all along, it feels that they're on a good way to convince him of, okay, look, this is what you can have, this is what we're offering, and look, this is good, this is really good, and we're doing progress. So why don't you stay and you make us even better?
It's been quite the season for Sergino Dest, hasn't it, Ali? Quite the roller coaster. Obviously, the low coming against PSG. I think it'd be fair to say the high very much tonight.
Very much so. And again, a player that has benefited with the change of formation, has benefited with the space and time that he has in the attack down the right-hand side, and how well he timed his runs today. When to go in the attack, when to get in behind, when to be an option just to drop off the ball or maybe go in a 1v1 situation, and when to attack the box as a guy who can get on the end of a cross as well. All those things were great from Sergino Dest. We saw some signs of this in the second leg against PSG, where he was destroying Lemar Kurzawa down the right-hand side, and he was just taking them on time and time again. And you're saying, wait, we hadn't seen that. Not a lot of it, not consistently enough. We saw some of it today. We saw some of that against PSG in the second leg. If that continues, as I mentioned before, then Sergino Dest gives you another natural outlet, another option in the attack. So it's not this Barcelona team that used to be sort of leaning to the left all the time, because it was that combination that we have seen time and time again. It's Jordi Alba running down the left-hand side, and it's Lionel Messi playing that ball. If you have that same option down the right, now where do you defend if you're a team that is trying to set up against Barcelona? That is a big, big, I think, step forward for Barcelona, and a step forward for Sergino Dest as well.
Ali, thank you very much. Jules will be back a little later on to talk PSG. I imagine Sergino Dest will be very much the lead on the latest edition of Football Americas, which drops, of course, tomorrow at 6 p.m. on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Napoli then with a 2-0 win. Let's just confirm what that means for their top four hopes. They are now just 2 points off Atalanta, who won earlier in the day. Who, by the way, level on points with the Juventus, who lost against Benevento. More on that a little later on. But as promised, let's welcome in, shall we, Jürgen, Alessandro and Gab with us. Ali, overall, really, Roma just couldn't get over that poor start, which saw them 2-0 down in the first half.
Yes, Napoli defend very well, and Roma didn't have a real chance. I mean, yeah, they hit the post, they have that head with Pellegrini, but nothing like, you know, that you can, whoa, now they're going to score. Nothing like this. I have the feeling that Napoli had more chance to score the third goal, honestly.
Yeah, that was it, wasn't it? Napoli clearly the better side throughout, Jürgen.
Yeah, definitely throughout. A very well-deserved win by Napoli. Now, Roma came a little bit back. Obviously, the two occasions they had with Pellegrini. But they never really pushed it enough. They never really wanted to force it. It seems like they were kind of low on energy. They were low on decisiveness. Not enough bite in their in an overall play. So this is a huge, huge win for Napoli. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and now they're getting 2 points close to the Champions League spots. So we can be really happy to have a real chase now in the Serie A for the Champions League.
Yeah, indeed, Gab. Beat Milan last week. Roma this.
Yeah, look, they're flying. There's confidence and... You know, I think what Gattuso has done really, really well is he's very popular. You know, he's definitely a player's coach. He takes responsibility when things go awry. And if he can create a little bit of a siege mentality, you know, vis-a-vis the club and De Laurentiis, you know, I think that can go a long way. What this team was never short on, and I've been saying it all season, is talent. They are, I think, after Inter and Juve, on paper, the most talented squad in Serie A.
Ali, of course, you know Gattuso well. You've played against him enough times and with him at the international level as well. Are you surprised how much success he's getting out of this team?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, they did a great job, by the way, but I'm not surprised because, as we said before the game, he created a really great unit and spirit around the team. So the team and himself and his staff are very unified, and this is a key for every kind of challenge that you're going to face. Today, they had a good game. They score as soon as they have the possibility, and then they keep safe the second half quite okay. Now they have to play against Juve. If they win against Juve, they go third on the table. So this is an amazing job by Gattuso.
Let's take a look at the first goal. Dries Mertens, of course, with the free kick, Xhaka. Goalkeeper?
No, not for me. And listen, as big a wall as Roma have, Napoli then put four men outside it. Roma have to put two in behind. Paul Lopez is unsighted, and it's a wonderfully struck free kick by Dries Mertens.
Jürgen, you've got goalkeepers in the family. Where do you stand on the goalkeepers' union and whether or not they're at blame to that?
Not part of the union yet. <I'm getting there. laughs> No, but I agree. I agree with Shaq in a point because the free kick was brilliantly, but really brilliantly executed by Mertens. Beautiful. But also, I like the fact that they put four guys in the wall at Napoli. They made it really miserable for the goalie. They ran out of the way. Thanks God, Zielinski got his head down at the very last split second. So it was a beautiful goal.
It's staying the obvious, Shaq. What the difference of the four Napoli players making the wall?
Well, it unsights the keeper for at the very least, and then of course it takes two Roma put two players behind the Napoli wall. So not only it draws two other players out from defensive duties, there's even more traffic in between well, Mertens in this case. And the goalkeeper. And so it makes it all the more complex. I thought it was well worked.
Dries Mertens still, though, a while to go before he becomes the second most successful free kick taker in Italian football history.
Who's first?
Gab Marcotti.
Oh, no.
Ali, we've gone through some of your most memorable, your most spectacular free kicks. Do you remember these? Like, for example, can you talk us through some of these?
Ooh. Well, yes, I remember. I'm old, but not that old. I still remember every one of them. You know, this is a very long time ago, and then this is quite similar to what you see now. We saw now with Mertens on the same side of the goalkeeper. Don't get me wrong, Mertens did an amazing goal today. From my understanding, I mean, if I will be a coach one day, I will ask to my goalkeeper, as soon as you have a wall on one post, take care a little bit more on the other ones. So I understand that the Napoli players give him a hard time to look where is to look about the ball. But in the meantime, I mean, that spot, that post should be covered by the goalkeeper, in my understanding. But, you know, we give a big round of applause to Mertens, that because is a great executor.
Never mind that. I mean, let's be honest here. This is a while ago. The balls have changed. And as much as Alessandro is trying to be a little bit humble here and talk about the game at hand, some of those free kicks with the balls from back in the day, he makes it look far easier than it is. So as much as Alessandro may want to talk about the game today, I'm still in amazement at some of his free kicks.
Well, do you think you would have scored more free kicks nowadays, Ali?
Yes, I do. Oh. Okay, never mind. Carry on.
No, keep going. Keep going, please.
There it is. That false humility is spent. Ali, did I see in an interview that you did, you felt that you could have scored more, not necessarily because of the ball, but because of the magic spray that would have made sure the wall was 10 yards back?
Well, that is the biggest change from 10 years ago to now. Yes, having the wall on the right spot, you know, because what happened in the past, you know, as soon as the referee put the wall, you know, the wall slowly with a little step came up, and so you shoot from a different kind of angle. So we practice in a training, for example, with the wall not in the regular position, but much closer. You know, to be able on Sunday game to have the same distance what happened in the reality. But now, with the magic spray, it's easier.
Jürgen, how was your free kick record?
Oh, I don't remember. I think a few ones were there, a few ones, not that many. Obviously, Alessandro was a master in set pieces. But he's totally right. I mean, you know, years ago, you know, the wall always cheated. The wall came always closer. As soon as the referee pushed you back, you know, turned his back towards the wall, you already two steps moved up. So it was more difficult. But still, I mean, the way Mertens executed that beauty today is special, because even for him, you know, it's a lot of traffic in front of him, even with his own guys, you know, he has to imagine exactly where he wants to place it. Thanks God Zielinski ducked down in the last split second, but it was a beautiful executed free kick.
Meanwhile, Milan taking all 3 points. Ali, we've kind of seen this before, haven't we, from Milan this season. They've shown a lot of character.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, I mean, they show a lot of energy on the pitch. All the time that they lost a game, they come back with a win. And this means, you know, a lot in terms of energy inside the team, in terms of unity inside the team. I always remember when already 4 months ago, Maldini was speaking with the press and say, listen, guys, there is something in this team. Before everything happened. Mm. So if the guy like him, you know, the confirmation of Pioli on the bench, confirmation of Ibrahimovic, they build something really. And we can see that. It's the result to speak for them. And this is something really, really good from my point of view. The goals still, the Champions League spot for the next year. Also that they have a lot of regrets about what happened in the Europa League last week.
Jürgen, I know you mentioned before that you managed to drag your way from the Florida sun for a moment to focus on this game. And Milan, we were talking before, and we've talked about it over the weeks, haven't we? Top four is their priority, given the gap between them and Inter. And this is a huge result in that regard.
It is a huge result and a very, very important result, and especially the way they turned the game around. And I mean, when Ribéry scored the 2-1, I thought, you know, oh, that looks really, really ugly now for AC Milan. But they found a way to get back, to equalize it, and then it's a beautiful goal from Calhanoglu to make it 3-2 and to keep them 6 points now behind Inter Milan. So there's still a little bit of a race going on, even obviously it's Inter now the big favorite. Both are out of Europe, and so it will be interesting. It's still 11 games, I think, left in the Serie A, so still a way to go. And thankfully, they keep it a little bit more tense.
Let's go back to Italy, shall we? One of the big stories that we mentioned, Juventus against Benevento. At the start, GOAT 770. I don't know if Ronaldo printed that off himself. This was, of course, surpassing Pelé's goal record. 3 minutes into this one, Ronaldo with a chance, just wide.
Yeah, he does really well, just to sidestep the defender. And then from a tight angle, just puts his effort wide.
Alvaro Morata then with the opportunity, blast it over the bar.
Yeah, should have done a whole lot better with this. Morata, the left header saved. Once it falls to him, though the space is closing quickly, you're expecting it, the target there.
20 minutes to go in the game, and this would be the big talking point. Arthur giving it away, and Benevento do the rest.
I'm really not sure what Arthur is thinking here with that long sweeping ball. Guys, does well to anticipate, to cut it out. And even though it seemed he dwelled a little bit too long on it, just cuts it back across the D against the green, finds it back of the net. You see Arthur's reaction.
Now, almost straight from the kickoff, Juve felt they should have had a penalty. Chiesa coming down here.
Yeah, and this is one that I think another referee could have interpreted differently. The defender slips, but I think throws himself in the path of Chiesa.
Doesn't he kick him, kick a man on the floor?
No, I think the defender knows what he's doing. I'm with the referee on this one. Could have been interpreted differently,
so
is all I'm seeing.
There you go. Ronaldo, denied here.
Yeah, just falling and trying to craft an effort out of this one. Had to go high. In the end, it's an easy save for the keeper.
Late on, Ronaldo's shot save. Falls to Danilo, puts it over the bar.
Yeah, Ronaldo again bring a good save out to the goalkeeper. Again, you expect Danilo to hit the target. If he does, it's in the back of the net, and Juventus somehow get a point out of it. Skies his effort. Cue the celebrations.
Oh, look at Inzaghi on the touch. I better Benevento, remember, coming into this game. No wins in 11. What a win as we welcome back Alessandro Del Piero, Gab Marcotti and Jurgen Klinsmann. Ali, let's start with that penalty. Let's clear up that, shall we? Xhaka thinks that could have been a penalty. Your thoughts?
With the new rules, yes. With the old rules, no. It's simple.
Let's go to someone who never played for Juventus, Jurgen Klinsmann. Is that a penalty or no?
Well, I mean, you can give absolutely a penalty for that incident. Even if he kind of looks for it and he kind of tangles himself into the body from the opponent, I have no problems if it's a penalty.
Gabby kicked him on the floor.
I mean, look, the fact that it's intent doesn't come into it, right? If you're being clumsy, it's not an excuse. For me, it's not a penalty, but I think what was surprising was that, you know, I think it is something that you take a long, hard look at VAR. Instead, the referee, Abiso, seemed like he made his mind up straight away. You can also make the point to Chiesa, says like, hey, young man, next time, instead of looking for the penalty every time, why don't you put the ball into the box and try to score? And I think that's something that, that's an area where maybe he can improve in.
Right then, let's get down to the bones of it then, Ali. What's wrong with Juventus at the moment?
Well, apparently a lot of things is wrong. What happened today, the mistake by Arthur is not what you need to be focused on, but it's a fact. Like, it's a fact that it happened in the Champions League with Bentancur against Porto. So this lack of, I don't know how to call them. I mean, the concentration, lucidity, clear in your mind what you have to do, how you have to deal with kind of stuff. It's worrying. And the result is worrying. I spoke a lot about unity, right? About Napoli or Roma, and you will hear me a lot talking about that, because in order to win, you need to have something more than the other ones, and because when you build a team, and Jurgen maybe knows better than me, you know, you need to have a lot of different situation, players, club, coaching, conditioner, t- talent, you know, a mix of everything. You need to put all together in the same time. That's where you come unity. Also, something that came in your mind. What's happening in Juve now is a lot of confusion, and it doesn't look, when you see them play, they doesn't look together in what they're doing. And everybody are putting a maximum effort because this is what Juve push you to do it, but with a lot of disconnection, and you can't lose a game like today. Playing, we saw our highlights, but the game was very poor, and Benevento did a win from 3 months, never win outside home. It's they already drew in the Benevento home. It's kind of, I want to use the weird word, but it's something more, unfortunately, for Juve.
So there's a lot of people that have got different opinions, Ali, about what's going wrong. So let's address some of them. Antonio Cassano coming out, of course, last week and saying that Cristiano Ronaldo is fundamentally the problem.
Oh, Cristiano Ronaldo, you can't see Cristiano Ronaldo as a problem. You embrace him 3 years ago, so you go with him. He's one of the probably the best player in the world with Messi and a couple of more guys that are doing quite well now, Mbappe and Haaland, for example, or Neymar. But is a great guy. He's a guy that scores every game. This is why they brought Ronaldo, to scoring every game, to bring them to the Champions League. Unfortunately, the Champions League is the situation where Juve is the worst, actually. You know, they came out in the quarterfinals once and the round of 16 the other 2 years. So it's very poor result in that. But you need to build a team for him. So that's one of the keys. Juve is winning for 9 years in a row. It's also to keep that level of concentration and energy on top. It's very, very tough. And besides that, it's new challenge on the bench. Because what happened the past 3 years, you know, you went from Allegri, you changed completely idea of football with Sarri, 1 year, and then again, you change again with a guy that is an amazing guy, is my teammates, and I love him, of course, but it's a new on the job. So with other challenges, okay, that this club is very strong, but all this stuff together at this moment doesn't work that well. And they need to watch also, you know, in terms of the race for the Serie A title, because they have to keep going, but they need to watch also to have a look what happened behind them. Because Atalanta now, without the Champions League, we run very, very fast. So they left one spot for the Champions League for next year. That will be a game changer for the club if it doesn't happen.
And then, Ali, of course, you have critics of Pirlo as saying, well, here's someone they brought in who's got no experience of coaching, and clearly he's out of his depth. If it wasn't for his name and his connection with the club, he would be sacked.
Well, Juve decide to move with Pirlo this summer for a project. And we see a lot of projects keep going after unsuccessful seasons. And we see also a lot of projects cut as soon as one problem came up, one big problem came up. What happened with him, they are giving him a lot of support because they ask him to do a work that is not, you know, all of a sudden, you know, from nothing to head coach. So it's just, you need a lot of support in that. So what is going on now is a fully support what's happened with him and also for the next year. But again, I think a big reflection we will have when we see if they get on the Champions League spot or not.
Jürgen, this is something we've discussed before, and I know something that you've been steadfast in saying, that he does need time.
Absolutely, Andrea Pirlo needs time. And I think it's really, really important, especially the things go a little bit wrong, and obviously losing in the round of 16 in the Champions League is it's a huge bummer for a club like Juventus. There's no doubt about it. Now being a bit too far away from Inter in the championship itself, Serie A, is a problem. But he won a Supercoppa already, and he's in the final of the Coppa Italia. So theoretically, practically, he could win two trophies this year for Juventus. No? And it's his year number one as an inexperienced head coach, and every day he will learn. Every day he makes new experiences. He learns about leadership. He learns about connectivity to the directors of the club, the media work. You know, how do I run my medical staff? How do I run my the marketing side? You know, how does that function? There's so many elements that surround the manager today that it's a huge learning curve. And I'm sure that he's going to learn all those individual pieces, and they have to back him. I mean, they went the direction. His overall idea to make Juventus more attractive, to play more attacking style football, you know, high pressure game down the road, you know, with one piece added to another. It takes time. It will take time. So I hope really that they stick with him and he gets the chance to prove that.
Let's just remind you how things stand after that defeat. Juventus sitting in third. Ali, just going back to what you said before, are you seriously questioning whether or not Juventus, they might slip out of the top four and miss out on Champions League next season?
Well, there is a possibility. I mean, for what we saw till now, they have all the quality to win the league, but you know, sometimes you play some season that you get a lot of problems at the same time, and you don't find what is the solution shortly. So shortly they will have a derby against Torino when they come back. Torino doesn't win the derby, maybe 12 years. You know, that kind of dynamics that, you know, what happened if it's that year that's going to win that game? And they need to recover one game against Napoli. But Napoli is running quite well, and they run for the fourth spot on the Champions League as well. So that kind of motivation sometimes brings you to play hard, harder than what you think, or to make you feel, well, I have to be worried about something. So let's see how the team, Pirlo, the players, and the club react on that. But they need to have a look, seriously, from my point of view.
Ali, you mentioned before Juventus, of course, out of the Champions League. We saw Inter fail to make it through the group stages this week. Lazio knocked out by Bayern, Atalanta by Real Madrid. Once again, no Italian representatives in the quarterfinals. Fabio Capello, speaking about this, said that the lack of intensity in the Italian league and it's just too slow a style of football overall is affecting them in Europe. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. We spoke with Coach Capello many times during the past year about that. The only team that have that kind of energy run, and it's Atalanta that, maybe when you play against Real Madrid, everything can happen, I'm sorry. But this is the way that now football is run in Europe. And Juve, Lazio, they're quite amazing in the Italian league, but when happens something that when you're facing teams that are really well performing in every section, you got in trouble. I mean, Porto against Juve play really, really hard in terms of 10 against 11. They have a chance to go. They score a goal. And that is something that you need to reflect on that. And in Italy, we're going through an era where we also lose a little bit of our identity, right? We were famous for the way that we defend, for example. And now our team concede a lot of goals, including Juve. Easy goals, something that didn't happen before. So this mix of situation, we need to find our identity first and then focus on talent, because we are missing talent as well. And this is a big question mark that we already discussed in Italy many times already, many years, beside of what happened with the national team that we missed the World Cup, and then after all of a sudden we finish in the final of the Europe, but it's something is missing for sure.
Isn't it just cyclical, Gab? Don't we just see this with some leagues? So they have like all representatives in the semi-final, and then you can fast forward a couple more years, and then no one's there. Isn't this just the way it works?
It is, well, but it doesn't mean that it's not true. I mean, look, we.
Go on,
sorry,
Gab.
Alec. No, I was just saying.
Go ahead. I was thinking. Let's bring that question. So,
right, Gab, shut up. Go on, Ali.
No, I was thinking, let's ask to Jürgen, actually, because four teams on eight in the quarterfinals in the Champions League are Deutschland coaches. They have German coaches. So that's amazing.
I'm the host, Ali. I ask the questions, but go on, Jürgen.
Well, I think it's a super interesting discussion because obviously, as Alessandro said, it's a cultural element. You know, Italian football was known throughout the decades and the history for their defensive style, for reacting to their opponents and waiting until you as an opponent, you make a mistake and then they're going to kill you. The way the game developed over the last 5 to 10 years, it developed into a very fast-paced, very physical, high-intensity approach. High pressure becomes more and more common. The only team, as Alice said, rightfully, is Atalanta in Italy that plays this high-pressure system. But it's very demanding, physically very demanding. It takes years. It takes years to implement that style of play with a team. And this is actually what Andrea Pirlo wants to develop at Juventus. He said that this is what he wishes to achieve at one point. But that transition basically takes really time. And so it's something that, you know, is not established in Italian culture to make those changes one step at a time, meanwhile having success, obviously, because teams want to win, is very, very difficult for an Italian approach. And the Italian approach is always known, most importantly, not to lose. And then if we can go forward and win this game, we're going to win this game. We're going to kill it off at one point in time, maybe between minutes 70 and 90. So it will be interesting now to see how these big teams in Italy approach this entire kind of global transition into this fast-paced, you know, very fast transition type of style. But they have to. They have no other choice. They have to do that in order to come back and be successful, you know, obviously in Europe, in the Champions League or European League, but also with their national team, which is a very, very talented national team with Italy and Roberto Mancini as their coach.
Everything you're saying, Ali and Jürgen, Ali, it makes sense. But from a fan's point of view, you want victory now. Patience isn't something that you would normally associate with supporters of any big club.
Yes, it's the win is a key for every team actually now, and especially for a country like Italy that is very passionate about that. So we saw Filippo Inzaghi with the Benevento celebrate a win against Juve, you know, like he won the World Cup again. So it's this is the spirit of the game that we are playing, and this is constantly what is on the plate, we say, when you build a team. How long do you have, as a, talking about time, in order to succeed? How long does it take to that level? How long does it take to Pirlo to bring that team to win again? Because the key for Juventus, yes, Coppa Italia is important, even the Super Cup, but the Serie A League title and the Champions League are much, much more.
Oh, Gab wants in again. Gab, what do you want now?
May I? No. Look, I completely agree with what Jürgen's saying. I mean, I think I know how this change of mentality has to happen. I think that change is already happening, right? Atalanta, Sassuolo, Verona, Juve want to play that way. Milan, I think, have been playing that way. Anybody who watched their first leg against United away will know what I'm talking about. The problem is that there is so much pressure on people to perform at the same time. You remember that stretch that Juve had a couple months ago when all of a sudden when Chiellini was fit and he and Bonucci decided that they were going to sit deeper and they were going to be tighter and they got a couple good results. And everybody's saying, oh, look, you know, he's being reasonable. No, he's not. He's being silly. He's playing the old way of playing, which in Europe doesn't work anymore because the game has changed. And I agree with what I think Ali made a great point about, you know, not conceding goals. Well, Manchester City, arguably the best team in the world right now, look at their defensive record. They don't concede goals. And yet, somehow, they magically manage to defend high up the pitch and win nearly every game. So, you know, it can be done. It's just you're not going to do it by sitting deep, by playing slow, by waiting for your superstar to create something out of nothing. And I think that's the transition that clubs are trying to make, but it takes time.
Ali?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I was bringing as a Manchester City as an example. You anticipate me as a great defender, but it's the point. And what happened with Guardiola is also something that we need to reflect, because a lot of coaches takes Guardiola as a god in the past 20 years after what he did with Barcelona, right? So, but during these years, Guardiola changed and adapt his game and bring his game on another level. Now, Manchester City is not a team that play like Barcelona with a lot of possession of the ball. They go much more straightforward if they have the possibility. And on the meantime, they keep the defense and the goal really, really safe.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. A couple of games in the Premier League today. What a game between West Ham and Arsenal. West Ham 3-0 up. Arsenal coming back, though, to get a point as it finished at 3-3. Meanwhile, Spurs with a 2-0 victory away against Aston Villa to close the gap on Chelsea in fourth to 3 points. Well, let's welcome back, shall we, Frank and Nathan. Nathan, let's start, shall we, with that West Ham game, which was bonkers.
Yeah, it certainly was. When it was 1-0 to West Ham, I thought it's going to be a test for Arsenal. And then they just switch off, as Shaka was saying, for the second goal. And you're thinking, what is going on here? And you kind of got to a point where the third one went in. You thought, well, they're imploding. This is going to be a disaster, especially given what they were doing in midweek in Europa League. But I think to give them credit, they found a way to stay in the game and to get back and to just do everything they can to not be defeated. And I think that overall, I think they'll be leaving the stadium probably feeling a lot better than, say, West Ham would. Because West Ham, you know, they took the lead. And I wouldn't say they controlled the game as such. But it's a shame that Arsenal had to concede three to get going. But to show that type of fighting spirit, I think it's something which overall, questions have been asked about them for things like this in the past. And they haven't shown up. But on this occasion here, I think some of the Arsenal fans overall will be, I suppose, relatively happy.
Nathan, they'll be happy with Odegaard. Great performance, particularly in the second half.
He was somebody who I wasn't sure how he'd be able to adapt to the English league, but I think he's found the right club in Arsenal to be playing, and he's moving well. He's linking up well with the front line. He's got a sense of freedom. Obviously, he still has to work hard as well, but yeah, he's looking like he's the real deal in that space for now. And you know, long may that continue for him.
West Ham, though, Shaq.
Yeah. You're
talking about Champions League winners next year. Does this affect your prediction?
Well, it puts a dent in that prediction, Dan. We'd be better for the experience, though. Listen, in all honesty, as good a start as it was for West Ham, and as good as West Ham have been playing, and David Moyes has the team organised defensively,
from that 30, 35-minute mark, there only seemed to be one team in it, and that was Arsenal. And I know Michael Antonio had that chance, and as I said on the day, it just wasn't his day. But in all honesty, for that closing 65 minutes of the game, Arsenal were head and shoulders better than West Ham, probably fortunate to have that three-goal lead. It's tough to capitulate that way, but just being perfectly neutral about it, Arsenal, as I say, had the better over the course of 90 minutes.
Meanwhile, Spurs with the win against Aston Villa. And obviously, everyone has jumped on Spurs since that embarrassing defeat in the Europa League midweek. This was quite the response.
Yeah, it certainly was. I think questions were rightly levelled at them after Thursday because that's a result that nobody saw coming. I think with the players that they have, nights like that shouldn't happen. But then to go into this game here against an Aston Villa side who were obviously confident, they've done well overall this season. Obviously, they're missing the Talisman and Grealish, but it was going to be a tough game. But Spurs, they found a way to ground out the result. And now you look at the table, they're 3 points behind fourth. Considering we were essentially writing them off and, you know, you yourself, Dan, you always write them off every single week. I think the fact that they are still within one win from that kind of shows that, you know, by the end of the season, they might be in the Champions League, they might have won a League Cup. And as a consequence, you could maybe argue that the season would have been successful because, as we can see, they are literally right there.
Wow. You wouldn't trust them, though, would you, Frank?
No, of course not, especially after what we saw midweek. But they've done what they had to do to get very close to West Ham and just behind them. And the performance was very good today. I was very disappointed with the Villains because they didn't take the opportunity of the big mess in all Spurs brain, players' brain. But on the other hand, you know, I found some players absolutely fantastic today. Lucas Moura had maybe the best game this season with Spurs, with Højbjerg, and of course Ndombele. And everybody was spot on. Tactically, they were good. Defensively, they were good. They attacked the way they had to do. They deserved to win. Nothing much to say. They came back to the game. They came back to the fight for the end of the season after that disaster midweek. So, you know, we all thought that maybe Mourinho would play his last game, could have been sacked, but everything seems to be back to the right order, and we'll see what's going to happen with the Spurs at the end of the season.
Nathan will be back with us for extra time, but now let's focus on what happened in France today. Of course, top of the table clash, Lyon taking on PSG. 15 minutes into this one, it is the bright pink PSG side who would take the lead from Kylian Mbappe.
Sure. Yeah, good finish from Kylian Mbappe. Lyon don't do a great job of clearing their lines and ball forward to Kylian Mbappe, who finds a fantastic finish.
Pereira then will make it 2-0.
Just dead centre of the box here, Pereira. Finds space after the ball pings around. My word, what a finish at the end of it.
Into the second half, Angel Di Maria.
Free kick goes all the way in. And this is what you ask the delivery to be. Angled in at that far post, body's coming, nobody touches, keeper stranded.
And then Mbappe.
That high line with Kylian Mbappe. There is simply no catching him, even when he's in possession. And he is as clinical as they come with that kind of space and time.
What a great win for PSG. A big statement for them, and it works out brilliantly. They win that game 4-2. Lille losing, which means when you take a look at how things stand, PSG top of the table now, level on points with Lille. Frank still with us. Welcome back, Jules. Please let Jules be wearing that PSG kit. Let's see.
Oh, Jules!
Don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that would have been awesome. I like that kit. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I do. Do you not?
No. Carry on.
I think
it's
pretty. Pretty in pink. Jules, job done for PSG, who are now very much favourites to retain the title.
Yeah, you're right, job done. And not just job done, it's the way they did it as well. Probably their best performance in Ligue 1 this season for 70 minutes. Then I think they took their foot off the gas a bit, the eye of the ball as well, and Lyon scored two late goals. But for 70 minutes, they were just outstanding. The commitment of every player playing as a team, pressing as a team, counter-pressing as a team. The intensity was there. I think they were helped by the fact that Lyon were unrecognizable completely at all, and their game plan was wrong, but Pochettino's game plan and PSG's was perfect, spot on. And then when you've got Kylian Mbappe in this kind of form, scoring his 99th and 100th goal in Ligue 1 at only 22 years of age after only 142 games in the French top flight, is pretty impressive, and they were just too good for Lyon tonight.
Frank, it's interesting when you look at PSG's record and where they've dropped points this season. It's not necessarily against the big boys. It's against those lower down the league. Do you think when it comes to these big games, it gives them that extra motivation as opposed to those lower down the table where maybe they're a little complacent?
I don't know. I mean, before playing against Lyon, Paris Saint-Germain got only 1 point against the big teams. But I think it's due to their form, to their fitness, to what they have to do in the Champions League. And the fact that so far Paris Saint-Germain is having an average, I would say, season comparing to what they've done so far this previous season. And the fact that they dominated the Ligue 1 by far. But when they play at their right level, there is no comparison. There is no competition. And it's been shown today for an hour where you can win away from them easily 4-0. And it could have been worse. So that's what it is with Paris Saint-Germain. It's only there. It's only in their mind. If they want to do the job, they're going to smash you because it's too good for any other Ligue 1 team. The next day, it will be Paris Saint-Germain against Lille. If Paris Saint-Germain get the 3 points, I guess it's over. They're going to be the champion again. And they will deserve it because they are, again, from far, the best team. But it's up to them. If they want to win, they're going to win. Nobody can stop them.
Gents, as always, thank you very much. Let's focus on the Old Firm derby now. Celtic against Rangers, of course, a big week for Rangers, and particularly Glenn Kamara, who claimed he was racially abused in their Europa League tie. Nice moment here, Scott Brown coming over.
Really is. Scott Brown coming over and shaking the hand of Kamara. That's what football is all about. That's the example we need from the game.
And they chose not to take a knee ahead of the kickoff to the actual game. Remember, Rangers already champions. Elanusi making it 1-0.
Yeah, nice ball across, and Elanusi somehow finds a little bit of space and diving header. See Celtic go ahead.
Morelos then with the header to make it 1-1.
Just coasting in far post. Nobody picks him up, and then once the first touch comes, even though he's going wide, he's perfectly positioned.
Celtic 1, Rangers 1, but it was that action, if we just take a look at the table, obviously, Rangers champions. It was that action from Scott Brown that everyone has taken notice to because of the rivalry between these two sides and because of what it signifies.
Of course, and given the week that Rangers Football Club have had to endure, given their exit from European football, given all the talking points from that game, we always ask the game of football to be the brightest of examples. And that's exactly what I thought Scott Brown did. Knowing the rivalry between these two football clubs, knowing the history of animosity between these two, of Celtic's titles, of Rangers finally snatching away from them, for Scott Brown to do as he did, I thought is the moment that not just Scottish football, all of football needed, because it has been a tough week for so many. It has been a tough week for Rangers, for Scottish football. It's been a tough week for black footballers to see and endure. While so many take the knee across Europe, in particular in British football, in terms of showing solidarity around that call for equality, around the Black Lives Matter movement, to see what happened against Slavia Prague, to recognise the history of abuse by that club, of fans against Semedo and Romelu Lukaku in 2019, around UEFA's inaction around that, around the club excusing the fans at that moment, yeah, and again making another excuse for one of their own today, one of their own in this game, and then their fans' response back again, posting on social media racist abuse aimed at Kamara, and Kamara Roof, what he had to endure on social media. This is the moment that so many are calling on UEFA to have strong and meaningful action around. Now, while UEFA can point to innocent until proven guilty, it's the word of two players, Kamara and Zungu, against the Slavia Prague player. And with him putting his hand over his mouth, it's tough to prove definitive guilt. There is no smoke without fire. Mm. We are talking about Slavia Prague in this instance far too often over recent years. Something needs to be done. There has to be meaningful action to at least show that you stand by the words that you put into this game, that you live by, and you ask everybody to live by.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it. What a marathon show it has been. But there's still more from us, would you believe? Extra time is next. Nadim and Frank back with us, of course, along with Shaq, to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time, then. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop is still with us. It's been a long day. Nader Manua is with us as well, as is Frank, who spent the whole day cutting down trees, from the looks of it. What a shirt, Frank. Out of your normal...
Why? Because... What's wrong with my Canadian shirt?
No, nothing.
You know, you don't like it?
No, I like it. Frank the Lumberjack.
Okay, good. Can I say just one thing about goalkeepers? Because Xhaka is always expressing the solidarity between goalkeepers.
Yep.
So when we see another goalkeeper kicking a long ball and scoring a goal and celebrating, the other goalkeeper being ridiculous,
yes.
Where is the solidarity between goalkeepers, Mr. Xhaka Hislop?
The solidarity is on the goal scorer in this instance, because...
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Meanwhile, Nadim, there's been a lot of people writing in suggesting that you can't play the guitar and that is just merely there to try and make you look cool.
Okay, so firstly, that's a bass guitar. That's a bass guitar. So please correct yourself.
I said guitar, same thing.
It's a bass guitar.
Isn't a bass guitar?
There is no chance Nadim could play that.
Isn't that the easier one? Isn't that just a dumb?
Yeah,
anyone can pick up a bass.
It's got one string.
But anyone can play a bass. Look, so you could be doing anything. We don't know. We can't hear anything.
Yeah.
I knew that. Anyone can do that.
But from the time he got all picky about
Nadim's guitar. Listen, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
From the time he got all picky.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
You knew. Because that's what I would do.
Why don't you play a real guitar? And why just the bass guitar, Nadim?
Well, I have another guitar as well, but the bass guitar is the one. You know, it's very important in terms of just like musical pieces. So right. I'm just contributing to the team. Oh. Somebody has to do it. What do you play, Dan?
I play triangle. The fiddle.
Do you play a triangle, something like that?
Seeing that Fred was horrible today on the field and Ole didn't sub him till the 80th minute, did you guys have experience where a teammate has been so bad on the field you question why your manager hasn't made the sub? Shaq, is this a feeling your teammates maybe had for you?
What?
Can I get that Shaka off?
bring a defender on, take Shaka off, bring anybody else on. I can't think of anybody.
There hasn't been a, like...
No, that I can recall.
Nadim, have you ever looked over to the touchline and said, come on, get him off?
No, because imagine if that happens to you one day. Oh. I think as far as the Fred situation goes, I think if you start a game badly, you're kind of chasing it. So that's why the cliche is like, have a good start. First 10, first 15, blah, blah, blah. But then in the same breath, if you're having a bad game and you know it, you don't want the manager to take you off. You kind of want to have the chance to redeem yourself. So I understand why he kept him for so long. And overall, obviously he's made a big mistake. I don't think he was the worst of the worst. I think there were a couple of ropey performances on the field today. So
who was worse, Nate?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Who was worse?
I can't say names. I've forgotten already. I've got selective amnesia. I've got selective amnesia, sorry. My bad. Please excuse me.
Not about somebody else, but I wonder about myself. You know, sometimes, you know, I had such a bad start, and I say, I think I should pretend I'm injured, like that I go out, like that it will be, I will suffer less than I should. And in fact, you I guess, professional, and you just hope that it's going to get better. So now, okay, I'm going to stay 5 more minutes, we're going to see right. how it works. And you stay, and in fact, it doesn't work. You should have gone out very, very early. It would have been better for everybody.
Here is the
Can I say something as well?
Of course.
Can I say something as well, please, Dan? Another thing, which is like something we forget, the game of football is so, so simple until you overthink it. So if you start badly and you start thinking, right, I need to make sure this pass is good, you concentrate on these little movements, you get worse. So you're just trapped in a terrible position where the start is everything. And if you don't have it, literally, what are you doing out there?
That was never a problem that you had, no?
It's kind of like playing the guitar, I thought. Once you overthink it, you're in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
What was your question?
That you never overthought it.
Oh, I've never overthought a thing in my life.
There you go. Of the teams mentioned in the chase, here we are, Daily Haaland question. Of the teams mentioned in the chase for Haaland, which roster is best suited for his style and skill?
West Ham.
In order, shut up, to be the most successful match for him?
West Ham.
You say West Ham. Mm-hmm. Frank, who do you say?
I didn't get the question.
Don't worry, we haven't got much time. Nathan?
Yes, it's West Ham.
Okay, whatever.
Oh,
West Ham as well. West Ham.
It's got to be Man City.
Man City,
yeah,
good. Right, nice objective answers. Shaka, have your teammates...
Of course, yeah.
Have your teammates ever blamed you for conceding a goal? Like how today the Manchester United players blamed Fergie for his mistake that led to Leicester scoring?
Of course they have. Yeah. I've blamed me for conceding a goal. I don't need to wait for my teammates to do
that. But would they call you out? Would they say, what were you doing there, you idiot?
Not during the game, but right. Yeah, we've had those exchanges.
What do they expect you to say?
Well, as I always did, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never overthought anything, Dan.
Frank, would you call out teammates? You would, I imagine. You're quite mouthy on the pitch.
No. And you know, on that matter, I wouldn't have blamed Fred. I would have blamed Harry Maguire to give a suicide pass to Fred.
No, you can't blame him.
You know,
he's English,
he's got somebody
Frank.
On
it's
his
not
back.
Allowed. You can't blame any English players. We're okay. All innocent.
Okay, all right. But no. I always took my responsibilities for what I was doing. So I would have been bad. I would have made a mistake. I would have all my hands end up and I would have said, okay, it's all for me, guys. Sorry. No problem. It's part of my game.
Nadim, is Iheanacho finally realizing his potential for Leicester?
Yeah, he's looking really, really good right now. Really good. And, you know, the question's always been, could he play instead of Vardy? But this partnership that they have now, I think it really suits him. I think he looked great in the 10. He looks really confident. He's finishing some great opportunities. And, yeah, it looks like the sky's the limit for him now. And it's the perfect time for Leicester when other people have been missing. He's had to step up and certainly step up. Oh, and he certainly has done just that.
What did you make of his post-match noise?
It was, to be honest, I'm born in Nigeria, he's Nigerian, so it's a great noise, it's a sound of success.
Yes.
And many more times do I hope to hear him shout in that high-pitched tone to celebrate greatness.
It's great.
So, Kelechi, keep it going.
Yeah.
The more of that, the better.
I liked it.
See what I did there?
Yeah. No, I like good. That noise. Can you replicate it, Shaq?
No, thanks.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think you could.
No, I'm not Nigerian.
Well, you could pretend, you could try.
How come you don't ask Nedim to do it? Why are you asking me?
Because Nadim's angry with me because I had to go his guitar. He's not going to do it.
No, listen, I cannot be angry at you. I don't take you seriously enough. Don't worry about that.
That was quick. That didn't take long.
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks. Yeah,
that was a tackle from behind, you know? That's a red card almost.
What?
A tackle from behind.
Yeah. Does the panel believe that Newcastle deserve to stay up or go down?
That's a good question. You earn a right to stay up. I deserve how? I don't understand what that's supposed to be.
But do they deserve to stay up or go down? Like people say Fulham deserve to stay up because they try and play nice football. They're a nice club. People seem to like them.
Oh, that's all it takes? You're a really nice club.
I'm just saying, that's the context of
the say, I appreciate what Fulham are doing, but you have to score goals, and that has been their issue.
Right.
So I don't deserve is I'm neither here nor there on anything.
Nathan, where do you stand on deserve?
Yeah, I don't think they're playing the best football at the moment. I think any time when they're on TV is going to be a tough game to watch. But the fact is they've got more points than three teams below them. So, yes, they deserve to be in there. But I would like a brand of football that's maybe a little bit more exciting. But as I say, they've won games and they're outside of relegation zone for now. So they deserve to be there.
Frank, what do you think of the decision of Didier Deschamps to recall Dembélé for the French squad?
I don't know. Dembélé is doing great. Today he scored a goal that he didn't score against Barcelona. He had three chances, the same ones, and he didn't score against Navas. But he's definitely a talented player. He has something special. He doesn't know where if he's a left-footed or right-footed. It shows you how skilled he is. But he has to be a killer, and he's not. I know something's wrong with him. Maybe Didier Deschamps can change that. Maybe he called him to give him some confidence. Mm. I don't know. It's a surprise for me. It's a real surprise. But I'm happy for Dembélé. I won't criticize the choice. Didier knows better than me who should be taken or not. It's a good decision. Let's say we'll see.
Nathan?
I was going to ask you, Frank, who do you think the biggest name to not make the French squad for the Euros will be?
Karim Benzema. I can answer that. We're running out of time. For Xhaka, do goalies pick their own clothes? Do goalies pick their own clothes?
No. Well, I never did in my... anywhere I played. I don't know if some goalies do. I just never did.
The strange colours and everything, it's not your choice?
You don't have anything to
it's
do
with... It's not your choice? The strange colours?
Nah, nothing to do with me.
What colour would you have played in if you could choose? If you could design your own kit?
Black. I would go all Neville Southall on them.
Right. Why?
Sepp Maier. Good. Black. Black Sepp Maier. That was nice.
I look good in black.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what Mrs. Hislop says? Bit of style. That is it. Any last words, Nathan?
Nothing for you, but good to see everyone else there.
Frank, is that your Ian Nacho impression, Frank?
Well, I tried to do my best.
Oh, good. That's it. Thank you very much, everyone. That is it. We'll be back. Oh, it's International Week. How exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. We'll be...
trying to make a play in Guyana, Dan. We'll be discussing that.
Let's all go.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.